Mydoma Studio is your complete designer toolkit. You know this, right? Mydoma makes it easy to streamline your processes, track your projects, communicate with clients, and just get organized. It is created by designers for designers, specifically to address what you need as a design business owner. Mydoma is now together with Studio Designer, and they are the industry-leading solution. With 20,000 plus users, more designers choose their platform than any other. Are you ready to reach the next level of profitability and efficiency? Book a demo with Mydoma Studio today by going to mydomastudio.com/Luann. That's mydomastudio.com/Luann. This episode is sponsored by Revelwoods. Revelwoods is your source for premium hardwood and resilient flooring. Using the Revelwoods Selector tool, you will be able to find curated suggestions for each specific project based on criteria such as style, color, zip code, and usage. Because the species of wood that performs in a laundry room in Key West is not going to be the same as the wood that will perform in a living room in Chicago. And how do you know that? Well, Revelwoods helps you. Know before you specify. And when you sign up for a free professional membership, you'll get access to exclusive discounts and referral benefits. Visit Revelwoods.com to get started. Welcome to A Well-Designed Business. My name is Luann Nigara, and I'm so glad you found this podcast. Together with my husband Vince and our partner Bill, we have grown our company Window Works from the ground up. So I know and I understand the challenges you face in running your interior design business. I also know that your talent alone isn't enough to ensure your success. So on this podcast, we talk about strategies and practical steps to help you grow your business. But make no mistake about it, we have our share of fun here too, mixed in with those aha moments that I love so much. This isn't fluff. Nobody has time for that. Whether you are a new interior designer or a seasoned designer, I am here to help you create and to manage the kind of interior design firm that you dream of. It's straight talk and it's action. Are you ready? Let's get started. Hi, welcome to A Well-Designed Business. It's Power Talk Friday. Today, I am excited to welcome back Katie McDonald, certified holistic health coach and instructor at Be Nourished. Katie previously appeared on episode 881, and she was here to discuss why self-care isn't selfish and why taking care of yourself is actually the key to a thriving business. Today, she's back to dive in even deeper into this area. As entrepreneurs, we do have a tendency to put ourselves on the back burner. And hey, I'm as guilty as every single one of you. I have worked through weekends, crammed in extra to-dos, and pushed myself way too hard in the name of productivity. It can feel as if we need to justify rest, justify taking time for ourselves, justify anything that is not full business focused 24/7. I know that's not the case for many of you. I've talked to you over the last year how you've made adjustments, but it is still the case for many of the others of us, okay? And I think we all know deep down how this is not sustainable, right? So how do we bridge the gap? How do we keep the business going and carve out ourselves as a priority? Katie's take on this is exactly what we need to do in order to see it in a whole new light. And today she and I are diving deep into the philosophical questions of creativity, well-being, and the way that they are and we are intertwined in our businesses. Before we get to Katie, let's talk a moment about how frustrating it is when, after putting together sample swatches, mood boards, creating a SketchUp model, and sometimes even drafting sketches, your client comes back and says, I don't know, I just can't see it. Or worse, they tell you they love the design, they go ahead, and then when they see it, they're like, I didn't think it was going to look like that, right? Have you ever been there? Well, Duke Renders does 100% accurate, done-for-you 3D renderings that present your design in their entirety. This way, you can make sure that your client is fully on board and understands and visualizes the design before execution. This saves you a lot of headache, a lot of back and forth, and especially a lot of costly, time-consuming mistakes that delay the delivery of the project. Want to learn how you can speed up the approval process and save time and delays in your interior design projects? Book a quick intro call to start learning how to create your designs in beautiful 3D renderings. Go to DukeRenders.com/Luann. You can learn how you will be able to use their awesome renderings in your next project. That's DukeRenders.com/Luann. All righty, let's get to Katie. Take a deep breath, folks. Just that's all I'm saying. Hey, Katie, thanks so much for joining me again on A Well-Designed Business.
I'm so happy to be back. Good to see you.
Yeah, Katie. So here's the thing, Katie. You were one of the speakers at Luann Live 2023 in Orlando. Our focus was health and wealth, a well-designed business within a well-designed life. And you were in the part of the speaker lineup that was addressing the health part, because this is your thing. It's self-care is not selfish. This is your mantra, and you're teaching this to us. And I encourage everybody to go back and listen to the original episode with you, because it really was so good. But here's the thing, Katie. One of the feedback forms on the after the event, one of the women that attended, one of the designers that attended, she said, you know, I really wasn't getting the whole health part when you put that on there. But, you know, the business track was interesting and compelling enough for me to attend. And of course, she said, I love going to your events. I'm like, yay, right? But she said, but what ended up happening was Katie ended up talking to me and saying to me in her presentation things that I didn't even know I needed to hear. And I thought, oh, isn't that something, right? Because, you know, we sometimes, like, what does stop us in our tracks and make us realize, whoa, this is a runaway train, and it's affecting every molecule of my being, and I'm not really paying attention. And I feel like you were her wake-up call.
I so appreciate that. I mean, we are, as human beings, in a state of delusion. we are built in a state of delusion, where we make empty promises to ourselves that tomorrow will be different, tomorrow I'll figure it out. And what I did was call it out. Right? I'm calling out what you're telling yourself. Is it an attempt to keep yourself asleep? Right? Or is it an attempt to soothe yourself into thinking that something magically is going to happen the next day that's going to change everything? And the fact is, it won't. The only thing that will create change is our commitment to change, our willingness to look ourselves in the eyes, look at our heart and say, something doesn't feel right. I don't, and we try to name it, and we try to write it off, and we explain it. And what we usually do as high achievers is we just work harder. We double down, we work harder. And that is, and what our soul is asking us to do is to pause and feel the discrepancy.
Okay. So I don't know, like, what are we 2 minutes and 47 seconds in? And I don't know about you guys listening, but I am just like, did she just like take the top off my brain and just read the script in there? Literally, like everything from, hey, tomorrow will be better. Tomorrow will be different. I'll do it a different way tomorrow. Like, yep, not today, 'cause I'm too busy. I'll do it tomorrow. Yeah. Like it's insane. It's like, you're literally, And it's funny because you've talked to me before about it, and you're probably going to hit me between the eyes in a different way today, but it's, for me, I know when I do this stuff. I know when I'm like, hey, I'm going to blah, 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 blah. And then what happens is when I don't, I go to, where's your discipline, lady?
Yeah.
Like, where's your discipline? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, come
so you go
on.
Bully, right? I mean, that's what we do. The true terrorists are not just in foreign lands. They are residing in our own heads. And this is the voice that is vigilant. It's persistent. It's pernicious. And it keeps the cycle going. It absolutely keeps the cycle going, because then we create this fantasy to quiet it. And so what we really need to do is learn how to tolerate the pause. And the pause is, you know, I think about this all the time. The pause button has two lines, right? The pause is one line is our current self, our deluded self, and the other line is our future self. And that's when we stop and say, okay, current self, I'm going to consult my future self, because my future self is the one that's going to suffer the consequences for every choice I make, every thought I have, every bite I take, every yes I say, and every no I say. My future self is the one, that future self 20 seconds from now is the one that's accepting the consequences. So I need to consult her. She has a right to be heard. And that future self holds a more elevated vision for ourselves. And so we owe it to ourselves. It's our birthright that we have to reclaim in order to pause and say, hey, wait a minute. What is it? What would be in service to my future self? And that's how we lead. Like, that's how we lead our design firms. That's how we lead our lives. If we could take some of these crafted skills that we have honed because we've listened to you, because we've gone to Luann Live, we've absorbed this business wisdom. Well, within that wisdom, in the business world, we need to translate it into our personal lives. We consult our future, our vision for our future business all the time, right? It's like, this is where I want to be at the end of this quarter. We're thinking about it all the time. But for our personal lives, we accept mediocrity.
Oh, God, you're so right. I'm like, all right, do we have to keep talking? Because I have to like go make some packs with my future self. You know, and it's funny because I will tell you that I mean, I've said this before. I spent a good 30, 40 years having a really good relationship with my future self. I really did. I really did. I lived it. I did it. And I, you know, you guys know June 25th, 2023, I like put the pause button on and I'm like, this is it. I'm going to do some exercise, ever move my body. Can't even call it exercise for crying out loud. I'm going to move my body before I work. And yes, it's almost what it's 9, 10 months, whatever it is. I still do it. I've committed to that at least. Right? I have committed to that. Because you know what it is? I recognize that I had to stop saying I'm going to be who I was when I was 53.
Yes. Well, that's comparing yourself to your past self, right?
Yes. I was like, sweetie, maybe you'll get there again. But like today, how about you just move for 8 minutes? Yeah. How about that? How about we just do that? Right?
Yes.
And you have tried forever to try and get me to not care about being my who I was at 53. And 53 is like BP before podcast. Yeah. Like it was non-negotiable. It was non-negotiable. Like every person in my world knew. Like I remember we would have appointments in the Hamptons at 10 a.m. That's a 3-hour drive from Window Works. And I would go to the pool and do laps beforehand and show up with my hair wet and put the makeup on in the car just to get it done. And they're like, what? And they're like, but it was, I was in a very good relationship, present and future self. And
yet you took something on, though. You took something on. You said yes to the podcast. What you didn't know is that you said no to your self-care habits. Mm-hmm. I mean, every yes is a no. You said yes to this, but I don't think you were conscious about what you had to say no to or what you chose to say no to. You weren't willing to say no to maybe, you know, part of your other part of your business. So you added more without really saying, what is my capacity? And our capacity has to be embedded in the context and considerations of our lives. What's happening in my life that allows me to take on whatever it is I'm doing? Am I fueling the expectations that I have for myself? Is this reasonable? Yeah. And most of us, especially as entrepreneurs and high achieving, driven, leaning towards perfectionism in the design industry, I see more and more this personality type, like we don't have a sense of enough. Like that is, we are insatiable. And our passion, which some people lack. They can't get motivation. That's not our problem. Our passion is our problem. Our passion is it's hard for us to say no to something else. So we just keep saying yes. And then what inevitably is going to happen is what cascades to the bottom of the to-do list is our own well-being. And that is like, that's the very fuel of our business. That's the very, you know, that's what makes who we are and what we do, and protecting that beautiful skill of design and creativity. Like it's housed in, pun intended, in self-care. And yet that's what we let go because something it's has to go.
Right. And what's funny is because it reminds me of, like, in a straight up business sense, you know, having been, you know, mentored and worked side by side with Vinny all these years, it's, you're always marketing, period. You're always marketing. You know, business is great. Great. Put the pedal to the metal, do more marketing. Business is slow. Great. Put the pedal to the metal and do more marketing. Right. It's not like, oh, it's slow, we should cut back. It's like, no, it's slow. Buy less paper clips, spend more on marketing. Right. And it's like, I feel like that's the analogy that you are bringing to the light, and we're really trying to have the conversations more here, because it's our fuel, our well-being is the engine for the business, right? And so if you don't pay attention to that, just like if you don't pay attention to marketing, it's going to fizzle out, right?
Yes.
So it's like trying to bring that concept over. Yep. It's like, no, and it goes right to your line, self-care is not selfish. It's, you know, and it's funny because we have it in every other way. You know, you put your own mask on before you put your kid's mask on the airplane. Like, it makes sense. Get you fine first, and then you can be more for everyone
else.
But
why do we have to be cascading out of the sky in a falling plane for us to get that message? Right? Like, why does it take that? I mean, most people I see, they have to get sick, like really sick, in order to wake up. And I want to disrupt that cycle. I want to say right now, you not only have permission. The rest, you know, my keynote is self-care isn't selfish. It's your duty. If you're going to feel guilty, because that's what we do. We feel guilty if we go for a swim. We feel guilty if we leave early because of, you know, something going on in our personal life. If you're going to feel guilty anyway, feel guilty for not taking care of yourself in the most fundamental way. Feel guilty for not getting the sleep. Feel guilty for not feeding yourself intentionally. Feel guilty that way because you are inevitably bringing a compromised version to yourself to the world. You cannot bring the best design if you haven't designed your day in a way that supports you. The scaffolding of your habits are what is at the cornerstone of your design and your business and your ability to lead your employees.
Yeah, no, it's so true. And the thing is, you have worked and coached many interior designers.
Yes.
So you're also familiar with, you know, call it a stereotype, right? But each industry, like engineers, we can all spot them a mile away. Yes. Lawyers, second, third sentence out of their mouth, we're like, you're a lawyer.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm out. Right? So you're like, you know, so we are 1,000,000,000 different personalities, but there is an archetype.
Yes.
To your point with a designer, it's truly passion leading, passion driven, right? And then it's selfless. It's like in service of others.
Yes.
And it's, you know, it's like that perfectionism. It's like that level, this could be better.
Yes.
And so there are those pillars of probably the personality base of almost everybody in the industry.
Yes.
And so having worked with so many of them at this point, you see it. And what you said to me was that you see that they're not bringing it home. They're not bringing that. We talk in the industry about creating sanctuary for the clients and a home that fulfills you and you feel wrapped in a hug and all the stuff. But then they go home and it's not happening there. Talk to me about that.
Well, you know, I hear a lot of people say, like, I'm in the interior design business, like, it's not just fluffing pillows, right? Sometimes there's this sense of like, what's my purpose? Like, is that all I'm doing? Is this what this is all about? And what we talk about is we're creating a soft place for our clients to land. That's what, like, we are creating that soft place in a very hard-edged world, especially now we're creating that soft place. We are soothing them so that they can show up again the next day, right? And yet we're often not creating a haven. Oh, maybe beautiful and designed meticulously, but is it really just an extension of our offices? This is what I'm hearing with my clients. They leave work and they go home and they keep working. And some of them are working from home and they're still like, and so here it is, this like, there's no respite for them. Where are these interior designers resting in their own lives? Have they created that haven? Have they given themselves permission to shut down the part of them that is in service to everyone else? Being a high touch concierge service does not have to mean a disservice to yourself. In fact, I would flip it. Because you are a concierge high touch service business that is based in beauty, like, hello, based in beauty, in the details, in the minutiae, right? It's like, yes, we therefore have to be of higher service to ourselves because we have to protect that skill. We have to monitor ourselves to make sure that our perfectionism is not preventing us from enjoying the business that we've built, enjoying our lives. And with my clients, we're actually like mandating days that are devoted to creativity. Your job is to wipe the lens over and over again so that you can see clearly what the rest of us can't see. So that means get yourself to a museum, get yourself to an antique store, get yourself to nature. This is your job as a visionary. So it's not a day off. We're not like wimps and, you know, eating bonbons all day. We are honing our craft, and that requires you exiting your business and inhabiting your life.
Interesting. You know, it's funny because the recording as we're recording is not live yet, but it's coming up in a hot minute. So it will be up before your recording goes out. And I just did an interview on Overheard with Layden Lewis, Charles Pavarini, and Maria Viola Kutruff. And the topic is creativity. Mm. And how do you cultivate it?
Yeah.
And where does it come from? And all of them mentioned stepping out of the business in order to consistently fuel it.
Yes.
Like literally, like you said, weekly coming out, like if it's walking on the beach or if it's going to a museum, literally what you said. Mm-hmm. And like, I remember like Layden mentioned, you know, sometimes he finds it on the subway. So what it is in my brain, he's on the subway, but he's not scrolling Instagram on the subway, or he's not doing emails. Yep. He's literally in the present moment on the subway and looking at what's going by him on the thing or what's happening in the subway and just getting a spark of creativity on the curve of somebody's shoe, for crying out loud. Like, it was crazy where they get this stuff from.
Exactly. And we have to wipe the lenses every single day, gain closure, end our workday, and protect with this fierce mama bear intensity this time outside of work. First of all, because we're freaking human beings. We're not human doings, right? Like, this is the piece, like, we nail the human doing part, but we forget, what is it to be? What is it to be? And that's our job, just as being alive, that's our job, but also as being leaders.
So I have an interesting thing. I'm going to indulge myself here and get a little on-air coaching.
I'm all yours.
You know, it's my show. I can do it. No. So it is a legit question that I have. It's interesting because over the Christmas break, Katie, so Vin and I always take the week between Christmas and New Year's off. And by off, it's a lot of the time I do a lot of the creative work during that week. It's like, it's the planning. What does the business look like? Like, I don't have kids. I don't have grandkids. I mean, listen to me. I have both. I don't have them that week. That was not a Freudian slip.
No.
No, I don't have them that week because it's a very big family week for them. Yes. They're visiting all their people and all the things, right? And so it's a very quiet, contemplative week for us. And we do it at the beach every time. Right. And so what was interesting is I'm thinking about a day that I went live on Instagram because we have a very interesting pattern with Vin and I at the beach. First of all, we're not morning talkers. We say good morning. We kiss hello. You can't be awake less than 5 minutes and you didn't kiss me yet. Okay. Here's your kiss. You know, like, we're very connected, but it's not communicated in words. Mm-hmm. We're very much like, you're in your space, I'm in mine. Like, when people stay at our house, we're like, wait, you're talking to us? Like, please don't do that for 2 hours, right? So we have this great rhythm. And usually by around 11 o'clock, he will leave the house. And now he's got all his errands. He's going to do this man Katie is a creature of habit. If it's Friday, he's going to go, he's going to buy his lottery tickets, and he's going to go to Costco, he's going to get his gas, and he's going to go to Jersey Mike's, and he's going to have his sandwich, and he goes and see all the people every Friday. And then he's going to do this one other thing and this one other thing, and he's usually gone for about 3 hours. So I kept saying that I want to watch like movies. I want to watch like chick flicks, like he won't watch. And I was like, oh, you know, we're going to have a whole week at the beach. I should watch a movie down there. And I was like saying to myself, I had it in my head. There were two movies that I wanted to watch. One was Prince of Tides with Nick Nolte and Barbara Streisand. And the other was Somewhere in Time with Christopher Reeves. And her name is there. It's escaping me, whatever. It'll come to me in a minute. And Jane Seymour. And I had the recollection that like this Somewhere in Time, I remember it was like impactful. I was like, oh my God, I love that movie. Like, that was amazing. I remember thinking it was so romantic and all the things. And all, I didn't remember that the movie came out in 1980, but I just remembered really. And for, okay, let's call it 40 years, I've been like, can't wait to see that movie again. Like literally putting it off for 40 years. Okay. Cause who has time to watch a movie? Right. And so this one day I was like, you know what? I went and I did my walk at the beach and I did my little bike ride. And I was like, I had to do all these things to justify watching movie. That's the first like psychodrama in my brain right there, like right there. And now I sit down and I put this movie on. And it stunk. Like, it stunk. I was like, are you kidding me?
So you were trying to go back to the past of 1980 and found that like, you are not the same person anymore.
18 years old. You know what I mean? And I literally kept waiting for it to get good. And I was like, oh, my God. I'm like, there is not a chance I'm watching Prince of Tides. There is no way I'm wasting two more hours in front of a TV. And I literally had to go back out in the beach, 22 degrees, and walk on the beach. I'm like, I just blew an afternoon. That was ridiculous. I didn't get any work done. I didn't get any of this done. And I watched a stupid movie. And I just was like, you know what? I like to move. That's my rest. You know what I mean? So is that legit that my rest, my moving is resting? Or is that just me being another squirrely lunatic in my brain justifying?
Yes and yes.
Okay.
It's absolutely both, I would say. Yes, I would say it's both. It's okay.
I almost called you and went, Katie, am I nuts?
I am here like- for you. You text me anytime. So I think what we need to remember is our bodies do, rest is not lazy. In fact, rest is rebellious.
Okay. Yeah, it does feel very rebellious.
In a society that celebrates chaos and movement and action, even if it's not purposeful action, we live in a society that values action as long as it's action. Right.
Yeah.
And so there's this piece we need to remember that rest is rebellious, that that we can take a stand by sitting. Right. And literally, and this is not, you know, I mentioned to you, I had hip surgery. Now I've had foot surgery and I am immobile for 3 weeks and I have another 3 weeks to go. Me, I am built just like you, my friend. This is why I've had to build all these self-care strategies to tame my mind. When we stop moving, our mind follows. And so I do believe in, you know, going for a walk, being at like, I love being active. It's a form of well-being, but if that's our only form of well-being, and it's not measured with this opportunity to still our bodies so that our minds can follow, that they, our minds can learn how to be in stillness. That is not something we know how to do when we're doers. And yet it is the source of all the creativity we're looking for, all the stamina, the resiliency. When we keep moving, we're moving away from that stillness as well. So that's why I answered it as a yes and a yes.
So here's the thing, legit. Like I will tell you that when I do go for a long walk or a long bike ride, that is when the ideas percolate up.
Yes.
So is it really, I guess what I'm saying is it really necessary? Like, listen, I'm not saying is self-care necessary. I know that I need the 8 hours of sleep and I need to eat good, healthy foods and I need to not drink wine every blessed day of the week. You know, like I know that part. I'm not debating. I'm actually curious. Do I physically need to be still if my creativity is coming out through it's gentle activity. I'm not like running a marathon for crying out loud, but it is, I feel like when I move, then the juices go and then I come back.
Yes,
and
but
I'm
life
like,
isn't always about the juices either. Like when I'm talking about the stillness, like if we're talking about a meditation practice, right? You're talking about walking meditation in a way.
Yes,
and I'm talking about
a sitting meditation,
right? And they're both really valid. And we want to build a life that has room for both. Here's in a formal sitting practice where
I don't know if I could commit to this.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean, the very thing that makes us break out in hives is the gold. Like when I work with my clients, it's fascinating. What they are avoiding the most is where I'm going, because there's a reason they're avoiding it. If they had captured it and embraced it and incorporated it into their life, they would have never made their way to me. And usually what they're avoiding most is stillness. We don't know how to be in our own company, and we don't know how to capture the space between our thoughts. We don't know how to capture this and tolerate the space between our to-do list, every line on that to-do list. Like there's a space between breaths. And that doesn't mean that all the ideas are, I mean, the minute we slow down, all the ideas bury us, right? And we're like, what? I mean, who wants to be in that? It's overwhelming. But we learned with time, just even 5 minutes having a cup of tea every day, all of a sudden there's a stillness. I think of it as like, you think of a river and it's like every day, every task, every activity, every step is throwing a rock in the water, and we're creating ripple after ripple after ripple. But when we just sit, what we actually see, what the water becomes is a mirror, and we're able to see ourselves clearly. The very things that we're deluding ourselves about all of a sudden become clear. We have that clarity to say, hey, there's the part of me that's driving chronic action. That's a part that doesn't know how to settle. There's something not right. And not that it's big catastrophic not right. It might just be like, wow, I'm tired, or I'm not getting the affection that I need in my life, or I'm not having the respite from work. Like those messages that are housed in our soul, they come up in the quiet. And they're not going to come up on the walk in the same way. It's going to be an intellectual versus this kind of soul-centered. But I really do valid.
Have you heard about the exciting new exhibit by the Black Artists and Designers Guild, which was commissioned by the Cooper Hewitt Smithsonian Design Museum in New York City? Big news, right? The Cooper Hewitt's exhibition is called Making Home, Smithsonian Design Triennial. Now, the Badge Designers exhibit is titled The Underground Library, inspired by the Underground Railroad. The Underground Railroad is the clandestine network established in the early 19th century through which many enslaved African Americans traveled in search of freedom. This library installation represents a 21st century sanctuary surrounded by art, objects, artifacts, and books of Black legacy. In reimagining and repurposing the Andrew Carnegie Personal Library, Badge invites you to examine the power of home libraries and the significance of literacy, remembering that African Americans were denied the right to read under slavery. I'm honored to share that Window Works in Livingston was asked by Badge to create the flat panels for the windows. We used a custom designed fabric by Badge members, and the fabric was fabricated by Stacy Garcia's team at Libitex. So please make a point to visit this inspired space the next time you are in New York City. The exhibition runs from November 2024 all the way through August 10th, 2025. So you have plenty of time to get this on your calendar. We will put links in the show notes.
I do validate the moving meditation, but I think we're kind of missing the other piece of like, what would it be like to actually just think about it. When somebody comes over and you see them, let's say one of your daughters comes over and you see them, if you're moving through the kitchen and you're getting tea and you're emptying the dishwasher, you're there, but you're not really
there.
And that's the difference. When you literally sit and sip that cup of tea in full presence, there's a difference. There's a qualitative difference in the engagement and the relationship. Okay. And what I'm asking you to do is to be curious about the relationship you have with yourself, not with the chatter, but with yourself.
This episode is sponsored by MyDoma Studio. MyDoma Studio is your complete designer toolkit. MyDoma makes it easy to streamline your processes, track projects, communicate with clients, and get everything organized. It's created by designers for designers, and it specifically addresses what you need as a business owner in this very complex industry. I've said countless times that systems and processes are how you reach the next level of profitability and peace of mind. MyDoma Studio makes it easy to do that. You can get 20% off your first 3 months by going to mydomastudio.com/awelldesignedbusiness.
Okay. And so I feel like there might be a window of possibility for reform here, because what I heard is, and you did say this on your first show, is that and you said it to me in our first coaching session too, it was your job is to sit and make a cup of tea and sit there while it steeps or seeps. I don't know steeps, which word yeah. is the right word, steeps, and then drink it. So now I'm back to that request. I'm back to that suggestion, because 5-6 minutes ago, I was like, Katie, I can't. I'm not going to sit here for an hour. So you're not asking any one of us to sit with ourselves in quiet for an hour because that's not going to happen. I'm like, no. And it's not because I don't like myself, folks. I'm telling you, I'm fine with the crap in my head. Yep. You know what I'm saying?
We don't have to choose ourselves over productivity. We actually choose ourselves and therefore are voting for productivity. Impactful, intentional productivity. I will never take away the drive to get things done. I mean, that's in my DNA. I love getting things done. I just don't want to come undone in my doing in order to do things. Like, we don't have to do that. We don't have to choose. In fact, if you want to gain, you know, you do so, you in all of your business conversations and all of the invaluable content that you offer, it's like the competitive edge that we can gain in our businesses is by taking care of ourselves, pulling the lever that so few people are pulling, which is mastering ourselves through daily, you know, tiny habits that we want to blow off because we think they aren't important. Do that and watch how much of a competitive edge you gain, because you're doing what so few are willing to do. They think it's a distraction. They think it's fluff. They dismiss it. And you leverage it and watch what happens.
Right. So to that end, so one of the things to do is to take 5, 6, 10 minutes a day and be in your own space and just observe and hear. So that's like tactic one. Tactic two has got to be like, get good sleep. Like, what are some of the other things? Somebody listening, they're like, all right, Katie, you sold me. I'm good. I know I have to like start making commitments to my future self. Yeah. You know, because it's like, I think you said it on the first podcast. It's like making deposits in the bank, right? Was that you that said that to me? It's like every action, everything you do for yourself in a positive way is like you're putting deposits in your future bank, as opposed to every time we don't sleep well, we don't eat well, we don't make the right decisions. We're taking money against our future self deposits, right? Yep. So what are some of the other one, two idea strategies that you like always have us crazy entrepreneurs?
So one of the things I do is to reframe the nighttime. The nighttime is actually the morning of the next day, right? Like what we do at night is going to set us up or derail us. And so I really think it's important how we end the day is how we're actually beginning the next day. So really hone in on that nighttime routine. I work with my clients on those morning routines that are customized, intentional, deliberate. I mean, I can't tell you how many clients say, I've always wanted to do X. Like, I just fantasize about reading a novel. I'm like, great. You're going to read 10 pages every morning. Like, what? I couldn't do that. Well, you know what? When they do, they feel validated. They feel seen in their own lives. And most of us aren't even we don't even have a place in our own lives because we're so busy with our tasks. So that like refining that morning routine, but that nighttime routine, how do I cash out at the end of the day? Do I celebrate the successes or only see how much more I have to do? I would encourage you to lean into celebrating the success because it creates more. I would encourage you to set yourself, like make your smoothie the night before if that's what you're going to have for breakfast. Start thinking about how am I going to fuel what I'm asking of myself the next day. That is a really important piece. And the other thing is, I would also say from a time management piece, because the three pillars that I really focus on in my work as a speaker and a coach is food, thought, and time. What are we eating? Is what we are serving ourselves serving us? What are we thinking, right? We don't have to believe everything we think, but boy, we have a lot of room to choose our thoughts and to discard the ones that don't work for us. And then food, thought, time, right? So the other thing, one of my favorite assignments with my clients is for the next 2 weeks, say no to every request that's made of you. It's so fascinating. Oh my gosh. First of all, they learn the script of no. Like, oh, come on. Oh, would you join this committee? No, I'm not available. Thank you for thinking of me. And then shut up and run before you say something stupid and you cave. So like, that's it. So like, or anything, just no, thank you. And leave it. It's not open for negotiation. We don't throw out excuses that can then be debated and we'll finally give in because we just can't take it any longer. We have to last 1 second longer than our impulses. Right. And so practice saying no. And then what happens, what's fascinating, is they realize how much time they are forfeiting over and over again because they don't have the courage to say no. They don't know that they can say no and be stellar in their business. And what happens at the end of those 2 weeks, first of all, they're freaking uncomfortable. I'm getting texts like all throughout the day, like, oh my God, blah, blah, blah. It's like, I promise your business won't fold after 2 weeks. People won't think. And you know what happens? They get more respect for themselves, first of all, because that's what I care about most of all. What's your relationship with yourself? But they get more respect from everyone else from whom they work. It's unbelievable. They start getting higher caliber clients that defer more to them, to say, here's the check, because they are boundaried and they respect them. And they're like, wow, this is a person who knows how to say no. She's going to advocate for me in a way that is like, she's going to be fierce when it comes to, you know, working with the contractors, working with the manufacturers, whatever it is. And they get so much more respect. And when you say yes after that, boy, is that powerful. Because you're doing it on your terms and it means something. It's not, oh, I'm a doormat. I say yes to everything. Who respects that? No one. That's not good business. That's not concierge service. That's doormat.
Wow. I mean, and the thing is, what it is it's almost like the reverse of cold turkey, right? It's like, you just have to say no to everything. Because if you say no to the things you know you should say no to, that's like, probably very difficult.
I'm a big fan of removing, and you know this, removing something so that we can either choose it or not choose it again. All of my clients go through 2 weeks of no social media. I want you to know the role it has on you. And then you decide, right? We don't have to be victims to what's perceived as what is, you know, good business or good life. 2 weeks of no alcohol. Why? Because I want you to feel the discomfort when you say no and everybody else is drinking. Like, are you drinking because you actually want something? Or are you drinking because you don't know how to say no? You don't know how to forge your own path in that social setting. Because we tell ourselves, oh, I couldn't do that. That would be bad for business. I've got to do, we tell ourselves all these stories about like what is okay. And they're not ours. They're not decisions. They're reactions. They're us being good girls. We can't be good to ourselves and be good to, we can't be good to ourselves and be good girls and boys at the same time. They cannot coexist. So we got to be good to ourselves and we liberate everybody else to do so in the meantime. Like, what a gift, what a legacy to leave behind. That's not fluffy pillows. Yeah. That is intentional impact, a legacy of a lifetime. Set us free.
You guys have to watch this on YouTube because she is like fired up. Like, yeah,
this is why we're friends, Luann. I know.
It's true. I mean, you know, look, I love it. You know, you're speaking the truths. I think probably 99.9% of us listening are like, yes, yeah, she's talking my language here. You know, she's reading my mind, right? It's just, but it's those little tactics. It's like, you know, what is the nighttime routine? And it doesn't have to be the same routine. This isn't a book. It's not a script. It's just, what I'm hearing is, it's kind of like what we say all the time with the business. You know, I don't care if you do, you know, Sanders Interior Design Standards, you work with Tracy Connell, Nancy Ganscover, you do Lou University classes, just put your business to a process.
Yeah,
I don't care what the process is, put it to a process.
Study,
right?
What you're saying, like, study your business. And what I'm saying is study yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. What is your nighttime routine? That's what right. will make, do you want to read a novel? Yep. Do you want to get your smoothie ready? Yep. Do you want to, like, because I think, you know, a lot of times we just like do, and then we stop doing, and now it's sleep time.
Yeah.
It's like,
yep.
do, do,
exactly.
Do.
And there's no, but I think, Luann, that's such a really important point, that the transitions are the most important opportunities for choice. And it is also mm-hmm. where we fall and stumble into careless habit. We come home from work, we, you know, rip off our bras and our heels and grab the wine. And it's like, and there's no like, gee, like I just had a busy day. Like I got a download, right? We go from meeting to meeting to meeting to meeting. There's no space. There's no space for us to even absorb what we just did. And then we're saying, oh, and I'll do the work at night. I'll catch up. Where's the humanity in that? And I think it was Martin Luther King that said, I have such a busy day. I better pray for 2 hours. Now, I'm not asking for you to 2 days, 2 hours, but like, really? That's the mindset. We got to flip it. Like, I have asked so much of myself today. Boy, I better up my self-care.
Yes.
And that's not what we do. We do the opposite. It's like, well, that's going to go. I'm not going to exercise. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. Like, that's what we let go. We let go of ourselves.
Yeah. And we couch it in the rationalization of, you know, maybe the exercise or the walk or whatever is one more thing. And like, I need to not do something.
Oh, it's martyring. And it's so last century. It's like, oh no, I can't, you know, I can't do that. I'm growing my business. Once I get to this level, then I'll do it. Yeah. I'm calling BS on that one. It doesn't happen. It doesn't, we don't automatically shift once our business grows into this, you know, esoteric level of, you know, exceptional self-care. It usually takes some sort of crisis. And the crisis might be minor, it might be massive, but it might be like, I just can't do this anymore. I have nothing left. And I think one of the reasons is we're borrowing future energy all day long. If we're not sleeping well, if we're not fueling our bodies, if we're not tending to our minds, if we're not spending time in nature, we have no source of energy except our future energy. It's a credit card debt that is going to show up with a big fat bill with high interest, and we don't want to pay it. So what I'm asking when we consult our future self is we're saying, I'm not going to steal from you. I'm going to actually invest in you.
And so, Katie, in your experience working with particularly the beast that is an interior designer, a creative and so passionate in all the things, you know, are there places that you can think of in addition to what you said, maybe there is no additional places, but that are the stumbling blocks, the hardest part that you just know, like over and over again, this is the aha that's hard to break through? Or is it every person at that point is unique? Obviously, every person is an individual, and the one person has a hard time sitting still. Another person has a hard time with developing a nighttime routine that supports them or a morning routine. But is there any common thing that runs through?
Well, I think one of the things, I mean, everyone is unique. I have never, ever encountered the same combination.
Right.
But what I do see, and what I do see is that our perfectionism prevents us from delegating fully. That often what we're doing is we are over-functioning for our staff because we lack maybe the systems. Maybe we lack the trust in our staff. We haven't diverted our attention to the training for our staff, so we don't fully trust that we can delegate. And we also believe that nobody can do it the way we can do it, which is true. And we also resist standing in our primary role, which is this visionary, empowered, intentional, like, lighthouse, right? I mean, this is like, we are to be the beacon of the direction. What is our unique direction? What is our stance? What is our positioning? And we're not spending our time in that area because we're so distracted with doing the business that we hired other people to do.
Yeah. So I heard two things in there. Just like you were talking in the beginning of taking a pause and reframing and doing all the things to really look at our self-care. It's when you're team is not trained well enough, if the systems aren't in place so that somebody can execute in your place, it's taking that pause in the business as well.
That's right.
It's like pulling that business down and pausing it. And it doesn't mean the business grinds to a halt, but maybe it's there's a pause every day from 11 to 1:30 and we work on process.
Right.
Or yeah, every Tuesday from 9 to 12 and we work on process and documenting and, you know, getting it in. That was the first significant thing I heard. So it's like the same pause that we need in our personal self-care and our way that we treat ourselves, we need in our businesses often. And the other thing that I heard was, you said it quickly, you said, because we think no one else can do it the way we do. And you said, and they can't. And then you went on to your next point. And, you know, like, it's kind of like your other line, like, no is a complete sentence. It's like, yes, no one is going to do it just the way you would. But that's okay, too. Like, that's what you didn't say. But I knew you were thinking and that's where you're going. And I just want to emphasize it because, yeah, that's right. But so what? Like, so what?
Well, and if there are standards as the owner of an interior design, if there are standards, then you better spell those out,
set them,
follow them yourself, right?
Yes.
And then hire people who are going to honor and respect that protocol. Use it as a hiring technique for like, this is what we stand for. This is how we roll. And you win or you're not.
I'll never forget when we did it, my cousin Eileen and I did a high level mastermind during COVID of a dozen, I was like probably, a dozen businesses that were doing from 1 million to 3 million at the time. And everybody in the $3 million group, every single one to a one had documented design standards.
Yep.
Like, it was the first time I ever heard of that. And it was, so for example, I knew they had documented processes for how do you onboard and how do you do a reveal and how do you, you know, check on the status of an order. But it was like, you know, grout, like let's say like grout always matches the tile. Like one is grout always contrasts with the tile. Like, I don't remember what it was, but it was like specifically design related standards. And each one had at least a dozen or more. And it was the type of thing where, to your point, it gave the designers that worked in their firm the first level of, no. At this firm, we do this. Now the next level of creativity and stuff that's going to go on to it, we're going to collaborate and we're going to decide, is it this chandelier or that chandelier? But like it was a very eye-opening thing for me to see that six out of six, they were like, oh yeah, we have our design standards, you know, like, and they all pulled it up on their spreadsheets. I was like, whoa.
and that's so fascinating and not surprising at the same time. And I think I'm not interested in helping my clients run their businesses better at all. What I'm trying to, and that's, I defer that to you and to the others in the world that have such skillful programs around that. But I have to liberate time from my clients. I have to find time, dig around, because what happens when we find the time, they're like, I don't know what to do with it. If I'm not working, I know how to build a business. I don't know how to build a life. And that's my work. But I'm in the business piece and the systems, because it's like, I can't, if you're working till 8, 9 o'clock at night, how am I going to talk about nighttime routines? So part of the tough lesson in this is sometimes we do not have the capacity to take on the quantity of work that we're taking on, because the only way to do that is to work till 10 o'clock at night and to have no life outside of work. And that is not a sustainable model. And I would say the quality of your work is a fraction of what it could be and should be if you are operating at that level. That is irresponsible. That's irresponsible to you. That's irresponsible to your team. That's irresponsible to the reputation of the work that you do. So again, I'm going to turn guilt. I want you to feel guilty for not investigating what fills you up outside of work. I want you to feel guilty for not taking care of these basic habits and role modeling to your staff what it is to tend to yourself, to lead yourself. That's what I want. I want you to feel guilty there. If you're going to feel guilty no matter what, that's where I want it to be.
Yeah. No, it's so good. It's, you know, it's eye-opening, Katie. It's a lot. It's not easy. It's like anything else that's worthwhile. It's not easy to make these adjustments and to do these things and, you know, to, you know, like you said, look in the mirror and really just like, what am I doing? What is the point of creating the wealth if the health doesn't go along with it?
And you know, you know, you talk about it. I think that's so important. You're saying it's not easy. And yet I want to remind you, it is so not easy to do this when you're sick, when your business is circling the drain, when you cannot move another inch, because that's what most of us have to get to that point. Or our staff, the staff leaves because they're like, that's way harder to do that then. And so we don't have to create that level of crisis and chaos in order to do that at all. We can actually do it now. We can sharpen the saw, so to speak, to speak to Stephen Covey, we can sharpen the saw now so that we can get nice, clean cuts. And our weekends aren't just compensating for the week before us.
Yeah.
It's actually restoring us and preparing us for the week ahead.
Well, I have to say, you know what? I can take that from this. You know, I've added the, you know, morning, you know, move my body before I put the computer on or do
which
any meeting or anything
that's
like that.
That's habit stacking. Yes. That's genius. You know you're going to open your computer. So let's just create a caveat. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, and I can, it's manageable. It's doable. Mm-hmm. I can foresee doing it. I can foresee, because I mean, I said, when you first started talking, I was like, she's going to want me to sit still for an hour. And I'm just like, you know, put a needle in my
Well, that's another way to be like, oh, can't do it. I'm out.
But see, and the thing is, even if you were like, that is what I'm asking you, I'm just like,
not gonna
happen. I know that would take me a lot right now. And I would never say to you, I'm going to do it. I'm like, nope, not happening. I would have to be the one that starts with 5 minutes, and maybe the 5 minutes will turn into 15. Yeah. Maybe I will find contemplation and enjoyment and satisfaction out of doing it. But the idea is that I can visualize committing to 5 minutes. I can do that.
It's not a quantity game. This is where we get stuck. It's like, oh, well, I really should work out. Okay, I'll work out. But a workout is just an hour at the gym. I don't have an hour at the gym, so we do nothing. This is the same mindset.
Well, that's how I got on the 8-minute thing. It's like,
exactly.
Okay, so that was a little unusual. Katie and I had to skip our goodbyes because all of a sudden, right there at the end, her dog needed her. Now, if you're a pet parent, I know that you can sympathize with that. I love what Katie shared today. This is something that has been an ongoing battle, challenge, struggle, debate, call it what you want, for me since I started Luann I. Garrett, Inc. I have to say, many, many occasions, I've neglected that future Luann on a regular basis. I understand it, though, and I get it, especially in the early days of starting a business. It was the same when we started Window Works. There's a feeling like every single moment matters, right? That you have to take every opportunity to make sure you're doing everything you can to get this business up and going, right? And a lot of times we're even happy sacrificing because we're building something for the future, right? And it does take a lot of sacrifice in a lot of ways because every moment can and does matter. But I think this is exactly what Katie's ultimate point here is. While it's true that every moment does matter in our business, we also can't separate it from ourselves, our needs, our well-being. We can't separate ourselves from the business. We aren't a separate entity that doesn't need the same level of care and thought and process and strategy and intention. And if we want to build something sustainable, something that doesn't lead to burnout or to keep us trapped on a hamster wheel, or prevent us from being creative, or prevent us from growing or scaling or just running the business of our dreams, then her message is we need to reframe the way we think about ourselves in relation to the business. We're the fuel. We're the vessel. We're the key to where our business goes in the future. And that's why she says self-care isn't fluff. It should be something that we commit to with the same devotion we commit to our marketing, to our branding, to networking, to documenting process, to the client experience. Okay? And what I love about this is it doesn't have to only look one way. And it certainly, and I've learned this for myself in the last year, it doesn't have to be all consuming. Okay. It's kind of like our relationship when our kids are little with them, right? We don't have to spend every single moment showering them with attention to be close to them. We can go to work. They can go to daycare or school. We can make sure that we spend time together, but we make sure that time is quality and that we're doing family activities and we're bonding, right? Well, that's, I think, what Katie's saying is we have to have that kind of relationship with ourselves, even if it's just 5 intentional minutes to bond with yourself, is her point, right? Being honest with you and myself, I don't actually aspire to have any intention at all, I hate to say it, Katie, to slow down or rest all day or do a lot of those things that really do unplug for multiple hours at a time, okay? It's just not relaxing to me. Yes, if I'm on vacation, if I'm with people, with friends and doing things, don't get me wrong, I'm not the lunatic at the barbecue that's doing, you know, writing copy, okay? But day to day, and at least for now and at this stage, it doesn't make me feel happier or content to build in tons of downtime in my week. But taking 5 minutes to sit and look at the ocean, or to just sit and consciously deep breathe while I have a cup of hot lemon water before I have my coffee? Yeah, that I can do. And that I've done. That's attainable for me. I've been doing that since last summer, June 25th, 2023, when I told you I was making changes. And for me, little changes have had a great impact. Okay? I told you that I strayed from BP Luann before podcast Luann. But the thing is, she was not so far away that she was unrecognizable. So be truthful with yourself. What do you need? I needed to not any longer give myself permission to open my computer until I did 7 minutes of exercise. That was the tiniest step that I had to take. Because I spent weeks and months promising that I would get up and do an hour of yoga or I would go to the gym, and I wouldn't do it. And so I kept doing the wrong things because if I didn't have an hour, what was the point? And so that's what I started with. I will move my body for 7 minutes before I open my computer in the morning. And I did it and I've stuck to it. And it's really made a difference. Okay. Now, in this last month, as I'm talking to you in real time, I have added, I cannot open my phone until I spend 15 minutes outdoors. Because you see, previously, I could get up, I could look through my phone, find out whose birthday it is on Facebook, send all my birthday messages out, and then get out of bed, and then do my 7 minutes of exercise. And now I cannot open my phone until I look outside for 15 minutes. If I can go outside, even better. And most days I can, okay? So what happens is it's 7 minutes of movement and a 15-minute walk outside. And you know what the thing is? Just like how bad crap in your life snowballs, good stuff snowballs too. Okay, that's the cool thing. Because often the 7 minutes turns into 20 minutes of movement. And often the 15-minute walk turns into a 30-minute walk. But my minimum bar is set because there are those days that are extra jam-packed. Okay, I remember a couple weeks ago, I was heading to Connecticut to go to Kravit and the Schwartz Design Showroom, and I needed to be in the car by 8 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, old Luann would have been like, well, I don't have an hour to get to the gym and half hour to go back and forth, so the heck with it. But new Luann's like, no, we do 7 minutes, sweetie. We do 7 minutes. And sometimes the 7 minutes is combined with the 15 minutes of the outdoors, right? So I'll do 7 minutes and then do 7 minutes, you know, do it outside and do 7 more minutes of walking. So I'm 15 minutes outside. But I actually went on my back porch at 6:15 in the morning, and it was a little cold. I'm going to tell you, it's Jersey. It's not summer yet, but it was like I could do it. All right. So the thing is, I'm taking little steps because I want to be happy, content with future Luann. And so Katie is teaching me that today Luann has to do her part, okay? So for you, this may or may not be an easy overhaul. I don't know whether you're a go-getter, hard worker, and you've got to curb it back and put it in perspective. Or maybe you simply have never taken care of yourself in a way that you can reconnect to the feeling that you're working toward. Okay? Because it's like before you really understand your finances. It's confusing. It's mind-numbing. It's intimidating. So you push it off, faking it every year in your conversations with your bookkeeper and your CPA. But for every person that has felt that, find the person who stuck it out, and they will scream from the rooftops this feeling of peace, of confidence, and clarity when you know your numbers. It's the same with this. If you haven't ever felt that feeling of peace and confidence, of clarity, when you feel like your health is in your hands and it's under control, then know that it's there. Your future self can feel that, but your today self has to work towards it, okay? Either way, what I want you to think about is what happens if you don't take to heart what Katie's talking about? What happens if you get to that crisis burnout point, okay? Now, you know a health crisis, whether it's a mental or physical crisis, is going to have an insanely larger negative impact on your business and on your life than taking 5 or 7 or 15 minutes or even 90 minutes out of your day to take care of yourself. You're intelligent. You don't need me to spell that out for you, right? So do it together. Let's do it together. Start with either quietly sitting for 5 minutes a day, like Katie suggests, or maybe you're ready for 7 minutes a day of movement, or maybe you're ready to go right back to your 3 times yoga or running. You know where you are. Do you? Do what you're willing to commit to. Commit to it for 2 weeks. It's a challenge worth taking, and it's the small shift that pays in big ways. I'm telling you, I had to do that tiny thing 7 minutes. And I'm telling you, more often than not, I'll do 7 more minutes, or I'll do 7 minutes, 2 hours later. I put a trampoline, a mini rebounder in my office, in my beach house, in my home house. Already had one. I'm like, no, we're good. They see me here. I come out of the podcast booth and I jump for 15 minutes, right? You can do it. Take little steps, okay? I'll be on the road for the next several months for the Power Talk Friday tour and other events, and I would love it if you would join me at one of these events and tell me about the change or changes that you have made. I'd love to know how you feel about the change, how you feel about yourself, and what results you've experienced, okay? Power Talk Friday in New Jersey is June 7th, 2024. In Las Vegas, it's August 2nd, 2024. And High Point, it's October 25th, 2024. To learn more about Power Talk Friday, go to powertalkfriday.com. At a Power Talk Friday event, we're going to talk about the strategies to improve your business and your profitability. And we can also talk about how you are improving your self-care strategies. Okay? Well, Katie, thank you so much for another fantastic conversation. Thank you for always helping me to have ahas, and thank you for being the kindest, sweetest friend. To learn more about how you too could work with Katie, go to benourished.com, the letter B, nourished.com, and you can book a complimentary 30-minute self-care strategy with session with Katie. And all I can say is, do it. Do it for yourself. You will not regret it. We will also put the links in the show notes. All righty. Thank you for listening. Decide to be excellent. Thank you for joining me today. This podcast is a production of Luann Nigara, Inc. If you want to know more about me, my books, or Luann University, go to luannnigara.com. And if you are interested in having Window Works help you with your next window treatment or awning project in the New York, New Jersey metro area, go to windowworksnj.com to learn more. Have an excellent day.